Well, first of all, right quick, Coach, since I got you on the line, just want to check in on the status of your program. You keeping those boys inspired? What are you turning to? Are you turning to motivational quotes, to wall hangings? Have you gotten a tattoo of any made-up Abraham Lincoln quotes or anything, Coach?
Well, one thing I did is this. I said that, you know what, when we have Fridays in our family, what do we do on Fridays in our family? We have pizza night, right? We have pizza night because you don't get pizza on Mondays, okay? Mondays when we show up to work and we tell the truth, okay? Tuesdays, that's Taco Tuesday because we take our responsibilities.
Truth Monday.
That's right. And after that, we take all of our hurt that we've gotten from telling the truth because the truth ain't easy. Okay, we tell the truth in this program, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Nobody wants to hear the truth, because if you hear the truth, that means you got to get better. That means you got to be honest. You got to face facts. Okay, so after that, on Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday. We take all those hurt, we put it between two shells, and we eat it. That's what we do.
Two shells, Coach.
Us. Right? Yeah, two shells. Okay,
you're cracking that taco in half and then reassembling it.
That's right. What else is a shell? A shell, that's something that goes off, right? That's us. We're a weapon, and we're pointed in the name of righteousness at victory. Okay?
Kaboom.
So we take two of those, boom, we make a taco of greatness, and that's Tuesday, okay? Uh-huh. Then on Wednesday, that's Wild Wednesday, okay? Because sometimes in the middle of the week, you got to go ahead and you got to let it out. Because I don't want you going in. I don't want you going through the rest of the week, you know, with all this buildup, okay? Wild Wednesday, we're going to have hard workouts. We're going to have hard practice. That's going to be full shells. We're going to see.
You're firing artillery at them boys out there.
That's right. Okay. We're truly wild on Wednesdays, okay? On Thursday, that's when I want you to – that's when we have our team meetings where we get composure. We tell everybody about the worst things. For instance, like our offensive lineman, Skillet Thompson last Thursday, after we had a moving Bible passage that we shared with everybody. It's okay. You don't have to be Christian. We're just using it for inspiration, okay?
Sure.
That's it, all right? He shared a moving story about his fight with colitis, okay? And if you don't think pooping your pants when you're not expecting it's an issue and it's something to overcome – go talk to Skillet. He might change your mind about that, okay? You never know what somebody's going through unless, of course, they've just pooped their pants in front of you, which is pretty apparent. Fridays, that's going to be Finishers Friday, and that's when we have pizza, okay? And my point being, okay, you got to go through all four steps of the week, including Finishers Friday, to earn that pizza, all right? Because you know what? You might think of it as something that you could get every day. And maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you were born with a pizza tooth. Maybe some of you were born with a golden pizza in your mouth, okay? Not anybody at this program, okay? Everybody who comes here, we start from step zero, okay? We start without boots. Ain't got bootstraps, okay? We find some boots. We take them off somebody. We put them on, and we make them fit.
Then we stuff them with pizza.
And then... if you don't feel it, hey, listen, if you're not filling out those boots, we're going to give you enough pizza, okay? This program, I'm telling you, we may not have the resources that some other programs got, but the pizza budget's enough to fuel a small army, all right? And we're going to make sure you get all that pizza, and that when we take the field, we're tipping the scales both spiritually, morally, and literally.
Now, Coach, if I was one of those young men down there in North Texas playing for, suiting up for the Mean Green, that speech you just delivered just now, that would have me ready to run through a fucking wall of pizza.
That's great. We watch the profanity unless it's game day. Okay, that's when Monday through Sunday, I want everybody to go ahead and conduct themselves accordingly. We just cut out Saturday because football, you might be a nice man. Football's not won by nice men. All right, so, for 3 or 4 hours, we're going to be class. We're going to do everything right. But like Tina Turner said, we don't do it nice, and we don't do it easy.
Now, Coach, the day on which I'm cursing is Tuesday, and, of course, my Colorado State Rams, we're in the Mountain West. We're trying to promote it to the MAC, so, therefore, dress for the job you want. The job I want is a coach in the MAC who's about to leave for an even better conference, right?
Right.
Coach, we are in the midst of our third straight winning season, just put together a number 11 recruiting class. Number 11. Number 11. Highest rated class before we arrived here was number 78 in the past 20 years at Colorado State University.
That's incredible.
We have surpassed that twice this year. We've got four blue chips already locked and loaded. I don't even know what's going on in the field. We just beat the shit out of Navy, but that doesn't matter because we had some recruits in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the whole time talking to their mothers. Very, very cordially and professionally, of course. Kept my hands to myself, Coach, as you have to do nowadays. But, Coach, I also want to check in real quick with Michael Serber. We have a college athlete on the call.
Goodness!
I'm going to see if we can get him to transfer to one of our schools. As I understand, we have a University of South Carolina running back. Michael Serber, a.k.a. what's your name? Ray Gunn?
Ricky Gunn.
Ricky Gunn.
Ricky Gunn with two N's.
Now, this kid right here, he's a 3-star, but he's an earner. He's a worker. All right.
He was a 2-star, sir. I was a 2-star.
I see in my eyes, everyone's gets an extra star, but
yeah. I mean, you know what? I like your 5-star attitude already, and that's what I gauge first, okay? So I'd be moving you up the board, Ricky.
Listen, I'm the third stringer on these here Gamecocks. We're 4-6, all right, but we gave a hell of a game to the number 6 Oklahoma Sooners in our last matchup. I've got about 12 snaps this season through 10 games. And I think I'm going to get the hell out of here, cuz I think I'm going to force win this final game against Clemson to Clemson to make sure that we don't go to a bowl game. And I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
I'm going to be doing that here
in the next 10 minutes or so.
What I hear is that you've got some bullets in the magazine, Ricky. You got some mileage left in that tank if you only got 12 snaps.
I don't appreciate the pun, sir. None at all. Thank you.
I understand. This young man here is a 3.0 student, matter of fact.
3.0?
I'll have you know I'm a 3.2, sir.
Criminal justice?
Parks management?
No, sir. Communications.
Communications.
I could have told you that. We got one of those here at Colorado State University. I understand you've already been to CSU. Is that correct?
No, sir. No, sir. You must be thinking of my cousin, Handin the Dirt.
All right. That's true. Hey, I want you to know, we don't have a communications program here at North Texas, but we specialize in music, and that's the ultimate language, the ultimate form of communication.
I think you got a leg up with Ricky Gunn's spiritual operator there.
Here's my issue with North Texas against Colorado State and weighing my options. Y'all are both green. That's badass. But my man has gold, dude.
Yeah.
What do you got for me? Do you have any black alternates?
We do. We got a clean black and green alternate that, like, it's NASCAR clean. We look like the Skull Machine out there ripping ass.
Well, we have an alternate white helmet that looks like a Ram's skull. So I don't know if you'd rather be a human skull or a dead ram. I know which I'd rather be, of course.
You ain't got gold. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'll give you gold if you want to come here.
Yeah, I was going to say, gold. You know what we do have? Platinum, son. Got a little platinum accent in some of those white and
platinum
green
albums. Yeah.
But yeah, platinum albums, platinum platinum dreams. That's what we do,
sir,
here.
Sir, there's a chance I get 3 snaps here against Coastal. I'm going to have to jump off this call.
Thank you, Ricky. I look forward to seeing you here in Denton. I think you're going to contribute a lot of valuable time and effort to our football team.
It's really
I'll
excited.
Be going anywhere but there. Thank you, sir.
always good to hear from 3-star
I don't hear
blocker,
no.
Ricky Gunn.
I didn't hear no.
I just know he's out there giving them hell on the punt return, punt coverage team.
Oh, you know what? I got a little something to talk about out there if we're going to continue this theme here, Coach. But I do want to ask you one thing here. It's understandable that our programs, we've got to be a lot of different things here. And this, and at our program, you know what we like to do? We like to go ahead and make sure that everybody is informed. If you want to go ahead and be informed, you know, not to interfere and provide a little bit of business along with our pleasure, but we run a little newsletter that you might want to hear about, the Channel 6 newsletter. Channel 6 newsletter keeps you appraised of all things college football, sports, and, of course, University of North Texas free jazz offensive plays included in that. It's just $10 a month or $100 for a year. With football season coming up, valuable insights that you can only get there. Might be a good time to go ahead and sign up. What you got in your program going on?
Well, Coach, just down the road from Ricky Gunn's overlord, Michael Serber, this program, the Shutdown Fullcast, has a headlining spot in the Sports Podcast Festival coming up. August 24th, Raleigh, North Carolina. That's week 0 Saturday. There ain't shit going on the college football schedule that day, so ignore it. Watch Georgia Tech FSU. That'll be a mess. And then come hang out with us and Hand in the Dirt and many more. And many more, Coach. The tickets are available there. Sports Podcast Festival is the name of it. Additionally, the next day, I will be at Quail Ridge Books with Serber, with Dimitri Vanos, who put together this whole weekend, and Emily Kirk, her very first book event for my novel, Hell is a World Without You. We are doing that, Quail Ridge Books, Raleigh, North Carolina, Sunday, August 25th. Tickets available. Your ticket comes with a book. I'll sign. I'll do whatever. I'll draw a picture in it, whatever you want. We'll do a quick Q&A reading. Those tickets are basically the same price as the price of a retail book. So yeah, you'd be crazy not to. You already have a copy. Awesome. Now you have one to give away.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called the Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
And additionally, the Shutdown FULLCAST is that, yes, speaking of live shows, we do have live show audio coming up in just a second. You're almost there. You're almost there. Your Portland Planetarium audio is coming right up. Before that, I'm going to tell you about October 3rd, 2024. Sorry about that, Coach. Furnace Fest, Birmingham, Alabama. The Shutdown FULLCAST is playing our first music festival. Get you a ticket to our set, to our gig, and we might strum a guitar. I don't know. Server strummed guitar on my audiobook coming soon within the next couple weeks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Those tickets are also available, so you should acquire some. Coach, I think that's all our business at the moment.
I think that is all of our business at the moment. Hey, come on out to Birmingham. You might go ahead and see me and Coach. We might do some Gojira. We might do some Sai-Ra.
Yeah, I might cut a queen's head off.
Okay.
Let her sing. Hey, sit around a table and anger every Republican at the sight of people sitting at a fucking table.
God damn it, I came all the way to France. Why don't they do American stuff in an American way? That's what I need to see.
I hate the idea of people sitting at a table. Anyway, let's go to Golden Corral.
Yeah. I love America and everything the revolution stands for, unless it involves cutting an aristocratic lady who'd watch me starve's head off. And then in that case, I'm really against it.
I don't know who that lady is, but this is satanic anyway.
And that's why it's awesome. That's right. Oh, sorry, I broke character there.
All right, let's hear some Portland audio.
To space.
Close your eyes. Picture a crystal blue ocean, teeming with life. Fish of all sizes dart through her waters, and an octopus floats dreamily through the abyss. Draw closer to the octopus. See its undulating tentacles, dancing and weaving an unknowable pattern. With one arm, the octopus brushes the ocean floor, sending a cloud of sand and pieces of shell spiraling through the water. As the detritus drifts, it spells a ponderous message you can just barely make out. Michael Dyer was down.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Live from Portland, fucking Oregon.
Live from 165 million years ago.
Jason, the Earth's not that old.
Speak for yourself.
These people in Oregon don't know that.
I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Holly Anderson, and Jason Kirk. Thank you so much for coming out to see us and hear the first of all, big hand for Mosey here, for the people
nope,
at the
not
Clemson.
The name.
No? Is that Tampa? It's what it says out there. No. The Planetarium folks who have hosted us here, a little round of applause.
Thank you for moseying on down.
Thank you.
What
the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
Thank you.
Museum of Oregon Science and Industry.
Yes. Thank you for having us. Thank you for hosting us here in Portland.
Several other planetariums straight up rejected us. I am not making
like,
that up.
No, like a lie.
No, we tell no lies.
Fuck you, San Diego. You don't have the Marines and act like you're too good for us.
I want you to know there's like 38 other planetariums that were like, you call it football, right? They what? No, we're not a board on either boat.
There was an ACC town that said, we'll need to run this by the board for approval.
And then decided, no, there's no fucking way we're getting in front of the board.
Do you know
this.
Who said we can go anytime, but they're only half this size, so we didn't pull the trigger on it this time? JMU, go Dukes.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. But what planetarium heard this and within seconds was like, it's go time. That's right.
Portland.
Is this bothering anyone else? Is this upsetting anyone else?
What, Earth being the wrong shapes? Put the shit back where it was.
Go on, get.
What are we here to discuss, Spencer?
Well, we're here to, first of all, observe the beauty of the cosmos and the universe unfolding above us, okay? But what you have to have your ears and your mind trained on is that if we have a live show, then we're here to do a set of disasters.
Yeah.
That's correct. This is a disasters episode that we will be doing tonight. And in this case, we have asked you for your workplace disasters. We're going to offer our own first. Okay, Ryan, would you like to go and discuss your workplace
disaster? So my workplace disaster has nothing to do with me, and but it does have to do with...
It sounds like you're going to talk about Spencer or something. Yeah.
So I called Spencer's former bosses. No.
Yeah.
My workplace disaster has to do with Bo Jackson, who was drafted first overall by
here.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he was first eligible to be an NFL player. Bo Jackson hated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because when he was a player at Auburn, they said, oh, we want you to come do a physical. So just get on our plane. It's fine. We asked the NCAA. They said it's cool. They had not asked the NCAA, and the NCAA did not think it was cool. And because Bo Jackson did this, his eligibility to be a baseball player at Auburn was revoked, and Bo was fucking pissed. So the Bucks, still knowing that he hated them, took him first overall. Do you know what Bo Jackson did instead? He went and played baseball and waited a year and got drafted by the Raiders. And if wasting the first overall pick isn't an extreme workplace disaster, I don't know what is.
That GM, Spencer Hall.
Thank you.
And Auburn and the NCAA have got along just fine ever since.
Famously.
What's your workplace disaster, Jason?
So I think I have mentioned this one on the Fullcast before, but I'm told it was 6 years ago during, which might as well be 165 million years ago. Long ago worked at a grocery store, a Southeastern regional grocery store by the name of Publix. There was sort of this thing where it's like, the young people, they get kind of bored doing the normal job thing. So we give them weird stuff to do. We need Christmas decorations hung on the top of this building that was roughly the same height as this planetarium. So we need to break out the 20-foot ladder, and we need to do it during business hours. And we need to have some idiot up there risking life and limb for $8.50 an hour or whatever it was. So I was, you know, I and a coworker who I was like kind of dating at the time. So I'm like, okay, I got to be really cool about this.
Is there anything more early 20s than kind of dating?
Exactly. it kind of turned into a WWE match where it's like, yeah, the ladder needs to be moved, but you know, not carefully. Coolness matters more than care. And eventually it ended up, I'm like under the ladder walking it. Again, this is during business hours. And then, you know, it starts to get a little top heavy and it starts to tip back. And honestly, it probably looked like the Eiffel Tower collapsing. And next thing you know, I'd basically suplexed a 20-foot ladder down the dead center of an aisle. Luckily, it didn't crush anyone. Luckily, it didn't like smash 100 wine bottles. Luckily, I was fine. I mean, I was like 19, so... What?
Can't die.
Impervious to injury.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll do it again. Did it look cool? Did you get it on film? I'll do it again.
And that's why I'll see that ladder at SummerSlam.
Back on, kick.
So they say walking under a ladder is bad luck. Well, evidently it's not, because I was fine. And yeah, I honestly, the disaster might be that I didn't learn a fucking thing, right? I didn't learn a damn thing from this experience. I probably did something even dumber later that day.
There's something at the top of the planetarium we need you to get, Jason, if you could.
Yeah, I'm on it, brother.
Thank you.
It's the moon.
Oh, shit.
It's the Mooney in the Bank briefcase.
The world is waiting, literally, on
when
your story,
Holly. When do you think we will have our first WrestleMania on the moon?
2038.
Let's accept as a group that it will happen one day.
Yeah, but we're not paying for it. The Chinese will pay for it, and they'll have to say a bunch of nice stuff about China, mm-hmm. right? They'll have to be like, yeah, the moon, wrestling on it's awesome. You know what else is awesome? Xi Jinping thought. Xi Jinping thought rules. It's the best, brother.
Man, the Undertaker kicked right. ass on the moon.
Somebody in the crowd said WrestleMania. That's right.
That's good, yeah.
Triple H, you heard it here first. Those continents are still the wrong fucking shape. We don't want to be in the same continent as England. Well, not now.
Holly, what is your workplace disaster?
My workplace disaster was working for you.
Hey.
No, that's not it. It's not a one-liner. Calm
Folks,
down.
Thank you for coming to the interstellar roast of Spencer Hall.
No. Man, you're going to be real, real old if you remember this, but Spencer and I used to do bets during Florida-Tennessee week until it became apparent that this was going badly for me. And we kind of quit doing them, but I was like 26 when this happened, which is important to remember. Like I was not like quite, not a little bit too old to do something this dumb, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't outright outlandish, but it resulted in the meanest thing that's ever been said to me. And it wasn't by a woman. It was a dude, which blows my mind to this day. Spencer and I had a Florida-Tennessee week, just like a week 3 bet. And the loser was going to have to paint up in student section colors for the opposite team for the next game. And it may shock you to learn that Tennessee lost this football contest, this being in the early aughts. And I'm good for a bet. So I painted up, you know, sports bra, painted blue and orange. I alternated colors of the letters, and I did the little dots on the end, like I had a font. And it said property of Mr. Tebow, just like across like my whole, just across like.
Like he know what to do with
this
them.
Is like, this was.
He'd pray on them. That's what he'd do.
See, I knew I was safe.
Father God, I'm just bouncing my eyes away right now. Yeah. Lord.
If you remember this, back me up. This was tamer than a Sears catalog. I cannot possibly overemphasize this. Somebody read this, found my mother's email address at her government job. Somebody from Knoxville emailed my mother to say that her daughter was selling herself on the pornographic website Every Day Should Be Saturday. Don't clap, it's not over. This is the last line of that email, which is the meanest thing I've ever heard, and it was said about me. This is the sign off. I am sorry for you and for her father, if she has one. Like, I can't say it without getting goosebumps. That's how my parents found out I was blogging.
And you also didn't learn anything.
Yep.
Spencer,
this is another instance.
This was
where,
before. This was many years before Spencer became my parents' favorite child.
This is an instance of blowing money fast. This involves friend of the program, John Boyce, who you may know from the internet. So sometimes John and I would write things together on Friday, because on Friday, you know, like, what the fuck do you put up on the internet? You're just like, I don't know. You put up Batman or you write some crap. And we were going to write about a video game we hated, because we both hated this video game, Watch Dogs. I don't know if you ever played this video game. There you go. Thank you for groaning. If you like this game, fuck you. So we're playing Watch Dogs, and John and I are talking, as we do. And I was like, hey, John, I think this video game sucks ass. And he's like, yo, this video game totally sucks ass. We should write about how much it sucks. So we wrote a full, like, far too many words. Like, there are Wikipedia entries
you?
About world
no
leaders.
Way. Yeah.
There are Wikipedia entries that
Spencer's
are,
three editors just nod yeah. silently around the table.
I think we wrote 4,800 words about how much this game sucks.
You did.
We were like, the protagonist was a huge nerd.
So that's a college football weekend recap. Like,
yeah.
For comparison.
Yeah. Like, we were like, this dude's a total loser, and all the mechanics in this game suck, and it's like playing inside Walmart's retail simulator in terms of character. It was just, it was long, and it was very mean, but I'm not going to take back a word of it, because it was all very accurate. That game is ass.
And you don't even get to watch any dogs.
Not one. Not one. It says watch and dogs, and it involves neither one. Instead,
you're should have rented trying, Air Bud.
Yeah. You're just trying to exact your revenge on Chicago society through your cell phone, like a nerd. Anyway.
What you're describing is Twitter.
Yeah. It's like, I can play this a lot cheaper and easier, and it's way more fun. Anyway, so we publish this on a Friday. We get a violent email at the end of Friday PM. It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing, from sales? Because there was a huge deal with the parent company that produced this, Activision. And Activision had read it, and it went viral really fast. And this was back when people thought Twitter was real life. So you would publish it, and then Activision was like, oh God, oh God, people hate this game.
It
this
has
is
15
awful.
Retweets.
It has 15, yeah. Over 800 people have seen this.
It has more
doomed.
Views than
they've
The
published
Rock.
It to news site Twitter.com.
Yeah.
More views than The Rock breaking the news of Bin Laden's murder.
This does get dire if you remember how rarely they actually figured out how to sell something for something we were doing.
Yeah. We blew a $500,000 ad buy across multiple networks. Blew a $500,000 bullet because we thought the game sucked and needed our little post.
Stand on business.
Yeah. Yeah. And in retrospect,
it's like a year of Ezra Klein's salary.
Yeah. In retrospect, I would take back nothing. Fuck that game. Fuck them. Fuck their $500,000.
So
totally worth it.
That was either the first or the second time John did that.
Yeah, no, John's done that twice.
There was also
yeah. Without me.
There was a takedown of, I forget which light beer company that John did. There was a commercial they did that he hated. I don't know if anyone remembers this. But like, it was this whole post about how stupid this commercial was. And it turned out that they had a related ad campaign on our website network. And fuck them.
Their beer did suck, damn it. You know, I think like those were four really good stories, but I think we could use another one. I think we'd use some perspective from Brian Floyd. Brian Floyd, what was your workplace disaster?
Are you going to hand him the mic, or are you just
yeah.
Hey, Floyd.
Oh, hey. Thank you.
Folks, I know y'all are sick of hearing Floyd's voice every single week, but
that's why we didn't give him his own mic.
So similar to Spencer, when you leave us in charge with things, especially at night, we have problems. Me and Bill Hanstock were up one night on Pacific time, Bill Hanstock was going on vacation the next day, and I was closing the website, and then I had 2 days off. The Chicago Bulls had played, and they won a last-second game, and there was a picture that showed up of, I think, about a half dozen exceedingly excited white guys, all celebrating.
How white were they, Chuck?
Well, let me tell you, buddy. So Bill broke this down frame by frame like you would on the internet, and we decided, all right, we'll get it set up, fire it up in the morning, publish it, schedule it, go on about our business and leave.
So here's six dudes who make J.D. Vance look ethnic.
Jesus!
Am I wrong?
Also, they were all sitting.
So we all go to bed. Bill goes on vacation. I get up the next morning. It's like 8 a.m. on the West Coast. This is published about 5 a.m. And by then, we had syndication deals all over the place. One was with Yahoo. And wow. We had just let it rip. You can usually market to not. And I was like, whatever. And by then, it was on Yahoo. There was a number of live visitors that I had not seen in a very long time. And we had a problem. And this was before it moved on to different right-wing websites to the point where VPs and CEOs of our company were getting called into meetings, asked about a post about why we made fun of these white people.
The worst crime possible.
I'm telling you, man, one of these dudes was so white vacation. He looked like Gollum.
One of our product team members made a GIF of a hand shooting off one like a rocket and rocketing off into space that still exists somewhere. It was beautiful.
The number of comments was into the thousands, like...
It broke the commenting system.
Saturday afternoon. And it was like, it was a spectacle. We're like, yeah, I'm off work, but...
This is back when the comment system was good and it actually took something, but Yahoo days were always treacherous. Like, something was going to go sideways, but this one just went in one direction. Right.
But we're here to talk about disasters yes. from all, not just internet people who don't have real jobs.
That is correct. So join us. I'm going to kick
Brian
off the
said
festivities.
Y'all didn't have real jobs. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We don't.
I want to start this from Elliot. Because it is relevant. This is a college football podcast, if you don't know, which is why you're in a planetarium.
Oh, the lights went out before I could see who's been dragged here on a date.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We haven't done this in a while. Who here has never been to a full cast live show?
Just go, woo! Woo!
Who here has never listened to the Shutdown full cast? Wow.
Yeah. Hi, girls.
Wow.
Welcome to hell.
Well, you're going to learn some things about space.
Listen, I think most things in life are shades of gray, but I think this is binary. Either you are in a very great mutual partnership, or you need to get out.
And tonight we'll find out. Yeah.
We're going to help you reach that fork in the road and make a very important decision about your future. But I'm going to first consult listener Elliot. Listener Elliot, who is going to take us through his workplace disaster. It's succinct, but I think it gets us off to a good start. One of my former coworkers hid under our boss's car to serve them a summons. Just imagine, by the way, just somebody like either it was really fast, like gotcha, bitch, right? Like
no, you can't get out. That I don't think there's any getting out from under a car fast unless you're Jackie Chan, right?
Well, I'm about to cast some serious doubt on my fast surprise theory with this sentence, which is the only other one in this story, which is they are all Arkansas fans. So I imagine it was hold on, I'm stuck.
Nah, that means
just there was, out of the car, boss.
Don't go anywhere. I got a summons for you.
That means there was a lot of pig grease.
That's right.
Just squirt right out
of
there.
I think this is a case of cultural differences. In every other state in these United States, if you serve someone with a summons, that's like, hey, we have a problem. This is friction we're starting. Mm-hmm. In Arkansas, just like, I didn't forget about you.
Also, there's a really good chance this vehicle was a jacked up truck.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
Is this Arkansas's Hazard Tahoe?
Yeah, it might
be. Is this like the Arkansas Aloha? Is this showing up with papers?
This instead of a Christmas card in Arkansas, yeah. You get a summons.
Yeah. Here's a bag of chicken tenders and a summons. There you go.
I'll see you
go
in the deposition.
Yeah.
I'd like to read one from Paul. worked in a food shack at Six Flags. Developed an allergy to bees.
Why?
After being stung 18 times in less than 2 months because the park wouldn't remove a beehive from the soda syrup holder. Dan Snyder, business genius! The homemade bee removal potion. What a phrase. Shakespeare could never.
It's just nacho cheese.
The homemade bee removal potion of lime away and bleach my boss made did not help. But it did send us to the ER.
Many of you struggle with your submissions and write to us asking how you can get in a show. Six Flags in the subject line goes a long way.
Yeah. Do you think there's anybody who's like, I worked 20 years at Six Flags and they were all great?
I was well taken care of.
This is the one who ends up in a story with the caption, it's always the quiet one.
Oh, yeah.
It really helps that I'm hearing the Venga Boys the whole time during
Dan Snyder got rid of that dude, too.
Yeah, well, he wasn't old. He was just stung by bees. That's it.
I have everything I need in order to succeed. Yes, I agree strongly.
All right, let's settle this down and do some serious talk about the military. This is from Bo. Bo, are you here? No. Some of y'all are here. We'd like to recognize you. Bo says, I was in the Army. And they sent us to West Point to teach the cadets how to use artillery. The West Point artillery guy was also the lacrosse team sponsor. Why does this matter? Oh, because one afternoon he made us let the civilian family members of the lacrosse team crew the gun. Bo goes on. What was supposed to be a small pop came out as a big boom, and the howitzer went all the way back on its carriage. We were hoping no one would notice when a fisherman called saying that a tree near him on the lake, 9 kilometers away, had exploded. The target area was 2.5 kilometers away.
Coincidence.
There's more. Tried to brush it off. The next day, the fisherman shows up with a fragment from a 105-millimeter howitzer shell he dug out of the tree.
That could be any shell.
That's crazy.
Coda number one, we did the math. If someone were to say, shoot an entire canister of powder, 7 bags, instead of the 2 bags that were supposed to be in the gun, that lake was exactly how far the shell would have gone at that gun elevation. Coda number two, my commander said, if I go down for this, you do too, and the lacrosse coach covered it up for us.
And that's why you let your kids play lacrosse, because you're going to get away with some shit. It's a cultural thing. By the way, like in that one, my favorite part of that is that that's 5 miles over 5 miles away. Cause you hear, cause I'm American and I hear kilometers. I'm like, that means nothing. No, only put it 2.5 times like further than the shell should have gone. Additionally, I know that the DOD would have tried this. They would have gone, tree just did that. Trees just do that sometimes.
Tree had to come down anyway.
Yeah.
It was rotten. This one comes to us from Adam. A company I worked for hired a new CTO. My coworkers and I Googled his name, and the first hit was a news article titled, So Much Porn! Evidently, he got fired from his last job because he had downloaded enough porn on his work computer that he filled the hard drive, and the computer would no longer turn on. He gummed up the works.
Can I pull back with another computer story right here from Vandy Import? While working IT at National Geographic, had to investigate a user's malfunctioning desktop computer. Turned out it wasn't working because a hostile coworker had literally pissed in it. He follows up, the pisser was a Penn State guy, incidentally. I don't think that's incidental at all.
No.
I think that's explanatory.
But I like that some IT guy opened up that laptop and was like, I figured out what's wrong with this. There's simply Salted. Too much ass in this laptop.
I have a theory about the so much porn guy. I think he was doing some serious crimes and he was like, fuck, I did these on the work computer. What I can't, like, I'm not confident I can erase them. What can I do to throw people off the scent? I know a shutdown level of pornography.
What is the biggest porn?
We'll bring the system down with multi-gig porn.
Quick, I need 500 hours of porn. Any porn.
Bigger asses. More pixels.
Enhance.
More pixels.
Enhance.
On ass.
Enhance.
Maximum quality files.
Have you ever downloaded so much porn you crippled infrastructure?
Do you think that's what happened with CrowdStrike the other day?
Yeah, why do you think Ed Bastian went to France?
It was an update we pushed. Definitely an update.
Let's go on talking about the ass crippled laptop.
First of all, this is definitely a desktop computer. Let's be real.
Who's still doing that in the year 2024?
Desktop computers?
No, not desktop. But who in the year 2020?
Downloading work porn?
Yeah, no, just like, yeah, because you know you can stream it all. This guy was like, no, I'm going to take something
home
with me.
Yeah, you know, and like you have a phone.
Yeah, you have a phone. This guy's like, no, this is a good one. I'm gonna save this one. I'm gonna make a special folder
in case they delete it.
That's right. Analog, right, like individually
physical
owned media.
Media matters.
Yeah, physical media.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, they streaming services pull things all the time. You never know, and you want.
There's some guy who's gonna seriously give you. You're gonna go to his house. And he'll be like, listen, Cherokee's retired. And streaming porn could go away at any time. But I have Ass Attack Volume 1 through 9.
I love that you're describing Eminem.
I am. He
or
was ahead
Hideki
of the curve.
Matsui, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
A preservationist.
Yeah. It's for future generations to understand what asses were like in our time. Anyway.
This posits a before time in which it was just jiggly polygons.
I would like to cover another one that's brief, but I think is related to the story we just told. This is from Will. Coworker showed up naked to Zoom sexual harassment training.
Thank you, Will.
Naked guys for Kamala Harris.
There's simultaneously so much and so little to unpack with this. Uh-huh.
It's already unpacked.
Well, okay. We've all been managers.
Let's put yourself in the brain of this nude man.
Right, because training is clearly needed on one hand.
So you're working from home. Mm-hmm. Respect. You look at your phone. Sexual harassment training in 2 minutes. You're fully nude. Many choices lay before you. One of those choices is skip the training. That's going to be a problem. You know that. You've been told you need to show up to these trainings.
A lot of you are nodding.
Debbie in HR has asked you to pay better attention and turn your camera on so everybody can know that you're fully engaging.
Oh, we're engaging.
So you decide you're going to listen to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And show up fully nude. Now, the other thing is that you get to choose, like, how much the camera can show.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not stepping into a studio where you're like, am I going to camera 3? Is my dick in camera 3?
Yeah.
I'm just assuming this is Jeff Toobin, by the way. There's nothing in this to indicate that it is, but there's nothing in this to indicate that it isn't.
Like, I want to be clear. You shouldn't show up nude to any meeting.
There are some.
But to show up, what is the meeting you should show up nude to?
The naked people.
The naked people's meeting.
Ask yeah. Question.
Yeah, nudists for Kamala, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
To be fair, you should show up at the nudist for J.D. Vance one, too. But, you know, that's a real different
that's
part.
That's just
a
rooms to go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's right there in the title. Also, I like this about this too, that like maybe there is an outside shot that in lining this up, the guy's like, oh fuck, oh no, and he started randomly clicking buttons, and that's when like the make your head an animal head thing popped up.
Yeah, sure.
So there's this dude with his dong hanging out who's panicking badly in front of his coworkers, and he's got like a cow head that's going like, and when he raises his eyebrows, it goes like, you know, like looks really surprised. That's what I want. I want the panicking nude pervert who's cycling through the crab face.
Oh, no.
The T-Rex face, right?
If I'm the HR manager, I'm like, okay, so this is our example of what not to do.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Spencer, we'll talk what's that line you love? This was not our finest hour, nor was it a teachable moment.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Thank you, Solomon.
Yeah, not our finest hour, not a teachable moment. That's one thing that like the HR guy could give up on. I think we need more of that society. We need more moments where you go, yeah, we're writing this whole thing off. This whole shit, this whole meeting, no, there's nothing teachable here.
Ooh, I got another nothing teachable here one-liner from Greg. This is three words. It might be the shortest one we've ever had, but I think it packs a punch. Gravitron group sex injuries.
Now that's what you Google when you're trying to fill your work computer.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that.
High storage pornography.
This is how you know you worked in investigations, right, Ryan, that you see a laptop full of 9 zillion gigs of porn, and you're like, what's the real story here?
Yeah. I've watched Columbo.
So you're trying to see this episode of Columbo is 20 minutes of him jamming a laptop full of porn.
Peter it's just Falk, him being like, yes.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. What's underneath all that porn?
Gravitron group sex injuries.
Do you think they didn't know that the panels moved? Does everybody know what a gravitron is?
Okay.
Just well, explain no. it just for the case. Listener. The listeners right. who aren't here.
Children, there used okay. to be things.
We are amongst men and women of science. We cannot expect the simple listener at home.
Children, a gravitron is a carnival ride that is round and looks like a spaceship. And you go in and you line up against the walls. You make a circle against the walls with your backs to the wall, and the gravitron spins round and spins faster and faster and pins you to the wall. And then you're kind of leaning back against like a padded backboard, like a gymnastics mat. And they slide up and off the floor because gravity is pulling them sideways and up.
Is that centrifugal or centripetal? Which one? Just yell it out. Nobody knows. Yes.
Both. Wow. Yeah, there you go.
That's good. I like that.
I knew, but I didn't want to.
I wish more science. I wish more Jeopardy answers were like that. Yeah. What is no one knows? Okay, how would one have group sex in a gravitron?
Well, I imagine it's going pretty.
It's gotta be mostly hand stuff, so right? Just,
well, no, because if you if
not if I'm able, involved, brother.
I would imagine you all just stand in a line and let gravity do the work.
Yeah, you can do a lot of in, but not a lot of out.
Okay. So we're now describing NASA soaking, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And that's why I downloaded that clip of gravitron sex onto my laptop and made sure it was the largest file I could find.
What? No, I don't want to know about the injuries. Never mind. I'm going to take. I'm going to retract.
Thinking, do they
question.
Not know that the panels slide? Whereas, what if they came back down and like shit got pinched?
Yeah.
I mean, even your feet would hurt.
Well,
I don't know why
thing.
I'm assuming you're barefoot in the gravitron, but you're having. I guess if you're having.
Well, it'd be weird to have group sex with your shoes on.
I like that in this story of complete negligence, we're like, they'd have sensible footwear.
I accepted the group sex without question, and then when I thought they're barefoot, I'm like,
take your Tevas off before we get our dongs out.
I don't want to get turf toe.
Is this a situation where you think, and let's be honest, these are teens.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I don't know.
All right. These are teens or 50-year-olds who live in Florida.
Yeah,
Arizona also eligible.
Yeah. The Florida of the West.
Yeah.
This might be like an Arizona State practicum.
Do you think this is a... Do you plan to have gravitron group sex? Or is it like, hey, you know, while we're here...
I'm getting a little riled up right now. Yeah. Me too.
If it's one-on-one, I think it's easy to say this, but like,
sure.
How often is group sex spontaneous at a carnival?
Probably more often
say,
than you
the
think.
The more words I say, the more plausible it starts.
Yeah, right?
Tammy's all gone off the cotton candy and funnel cakes.
Oh,
I got a strike now.
Wait, maybe this was employees. Sure. Yeah. Maybe this is employees.
Sure. The siren song of the Gravitron calling to your loins.
I'm Johnny Knoxville. That's,
by the way, super loud music plays, and it's always something like Crazy Town's Butterfly. So if you wanted more ambiance for whatever the scene was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's it. You can have a happy memory to Butterfly about how you got a sprained gooch sleeping with a couple of carnies. That sounds awesome.
You have such a beautiful way with words.
I'm a writer. Yeah.
I believe people can transcend the station to which they are born. I think if you are conceived in a Gravitron, that's a real steep climb.
That's how you get superpowers.
I've named him Shazam after the position he was conceived in.
Shazam Crazy Town Johnson. That's his name.
Spencer's recruited him to North Texas.
That's like the fourth line of the song. There's nothing that they won't try.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
This is from Rob. I started a new job and set up my outgoing voicemail on my phone. It took me several tries to get it right, and each attempt made me more frustrated and ended with a string of curses. I thought...
This is
you can
Rob
tell where this story
here.
Turns. I thought that I'd hit the button to start a new attempt each time. But instead, I was simply pausing and unpausing. One very long, profane recording. It was my voicemail for 4 months before anyone told me. Statistically, the odds that the person who told Rob is listening, is at the show or listening to this show are very low. But if you are, fuck you.
I hope Rob is a clergy member.
Thank you for calling St. Rordens. Fuck. That's not the name.
Fuck.
Fuck.
There we go.
I would have kept it. That's the thing. Once it's your brand for 4 months,
yeah,
you're just like, yeah.
Like everybody knows, and it's clearly not impacting your work ability. They might as well know the real you.
It kind of depends what business you're in. Like Spencer's right. If you're a clergyman,
or is it an internal office voicemail, or is it like a forward? Is it like an outward facing? Like, are you getting external sales calls?
Yeah.
In which case, again, congratulations.
It's if a power
you,
move.
If yeah. you still left a message through all of that, you needed whatever was on the other end. Or you were like me and you're like, nothing works. It's all fucked. You might as well leave a message. It's fine.
Hi, we're calling about your test results. Yeah.
I mean, your fucking test results?
We're calling about the Gravitron incident, Rob.
See, he was distracted from downloading all that porn. That's why he was just like, yeah.
Canonically, these are all one person going through life.
Yeah. Just disaster man. Yeah. Let's follow up Pastor Rob with Robbie, whose first job was at a grocery store. Same. I see that hand. Had to clean the women's restroom. There was a trail of explosive diarrhea from toilet to ceiling.
From the toilet
to the ceiling.
Oh, that shit all over the stall.
Wait till that poop falls.
Oh, shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, as someone who has cleaned both restrooms in a grocery store, yeah, the hardcore shit is in the ladies.
I think it's like steady level of filth advantage, dudes. Horrendous, the thing level of special effect, or like you walk in and go, wow, this is Rick Baker's best work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And I've heard this confirmed from others in other lines of work, including the United States military, that like if you want to see like, ew, that's gross, you clean the men's restroom. If you want to risk either, oh, it was already clean, or I've seen things.
A terrible battle was fought here.
I've seen things. I'm not going back.
It's
if you want to
nice.
Quote Event Horizon, you clean the women's restroom.
Yeah.
It's always nice when you get a reminder that humans are many things. One of them is nature's grossest super soaker.
Just like, a bag of liquids.
Well, like the most common way this happens, if you have children,
yeah.
At some point, they will poop in a way that is physically confusing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, you pooped across the room. You pooped on the wall that you're not near.
I think the thing is, we're the only animals who are, we have designed structures that are not supposed to have poop. Every other animal just knows, like, there's the ground. That's where you shit.
Right.
We're the ones who said, here's the ground where we don't shit. And then we shit it.
And then we further subdivide it.
That's true. Yeah. Into Slightly Gross and a film by Eli Roth. That's like, yeah.
I bet there are animals who come upon other animal droppings and are like, well, you nasty. Like, I think animals have that sense of, like...
Not dogs.
No.
Oh, interesting.
A new book.
Maybe there's treasure.
Tell me your stories.
It's speaking to me.
We should have dogs clean restrooms.
Oh, my
no,
God.
No, you don't want that. No, you do not want that.
The aftermath of a dog, you've never smelled anything like what comes up after that.
Oh, boy.
Then we have a separate room where the dogs go after cleaning the restroom.
Was that the entire thing? Was straight to the ceiling, and that's the entire story?
Yeah, it was on the ceiling, brother.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You know, like our famous catchphrase.
There were some great one-liners in this batch.
So, where do you think the trail started and ended?
It says from toilet to ceiling.
Yeah, do the Hannibal thing.
Because I'm having trouble walking through. I'm like in my CSI mind palace.
No. Right. We need to do this sexy like Will Graham.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Draw a clock. All right.
Wait. Spencer, completely unrelated. Draw a clock.
No.
Like, do you think we started asshole towards ceiling?
No,
we somehow ended up there?
Well, it might have been an urgency thing. You know, the pants are going down.
Yeah.
And we might have angled
might
up.
Might mean a bending over
to
descend the pants.
Uh-huh.
At which point the ass might have been skyward.
Sure.
So in Hannibal speak, this is, I lean down at a 20 degree angle relative to the ground. This is my design.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But that makes more sense than the other one.
My supple undercarriage.
The other version where you start low and go high is like, I forgot I was still going and I tied my shoes?
It could have been that the propulsive blast created such a concussive force.
Sure. I was thrown clear of the wreckage.
I was lifted from the toilet seat and found myself prone with my asshole... as a Roman candle.
Mm-hmm. Look at the animation above us, by the way. Relevant.
Me and Michelangelo, guys who paint ceilings. That was Michelangelo, right? Was that Leonardo?
And this lady.
Thank you.
Two great artists. I'm just going to blame sugar-free something. Gummy bears, Mentos. Mm. Yeah, this seems like they're kind of
work. Is it possible this was a toddler? I've been thinking about the physics this whole time. Is it possible this was a toddler who had to be extricated from some kind of complicated carrier situation, thus, like, hoisted?
So the kid was...
And so it started up and went down.
The kid was a loaded weapon who was like, being aimed.
Right. Like, if you had to lift, like, a large-ish infant out of one of
like
these chests.
Or, I'll tell you what
like
it is.
Like a can of spray cheese you knock the nozzle off of.
Yeah.
It's that kid, but the wielder of the kid was not prepared for the recoil.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So when the weapon discharged, that it kicked, right? If you've ever...
Okay.
Folks, we're in Oregon. I know you've shot a lot of guns. When you shoot a big firearm, it's going to raise
There's
up.
Kick,
if you're not prepared for that caliber, your kid's going to shit the fucking ceiling.
That's why you need range time.
Thanks, Coach.
I'll say one good thing about shitting from the floor to the ceiling.
Sure.
A sentence I definitely thought I would say.
Mm.
You make no pretense of, well, I'll clean this up before I leave.
You're leaving the fuck out of there.
You're like, nope. Not only do I not shop at this Kroger anymore, I don't shop at any of them.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
And some kid who makes $7.75 will clean this ceiling.
Yeah, you should just quit. That's another thing. And a lot of these situations, I think it's better to just quit. I had a coworker once who did that when he was told he couldn't go to a White Zombie concert.
Sure.
Which is natural.
Why did the founders even do all their work if we couldn't?
Right. So he had a bus tub full of dishes and shit that he was going to take back. And he goes, you're going to tell me I can't go to the White Zombie concert? Okay. Threw it right in the trash compactor, bus tub, dishes in the hall. And was like, White Zombie! And like walked out.
Yeah. And Ben Franklin in heaven is rocking out to Dragula.
Ben Franklin.
You know who would have loved that?
Hmm.
Rob.
Rob?
Yeah, Rob
would have loved that.
Yeah.
I have one that I want to share that's definitely not going to take us out of the bags of liquid discussion of humans.
Again, look at the visuals that we've got.
We're watching.
You can see from space to the
Just look at
question.
The majesty of space and all that gas when you think about Marshall's story here.
We're watching the Earth with pubic hair?
No, hang on.
I'm not entirely sure.
Hang on, we gotta tell Marshall's story.
Okay.
So, a centrifuge in my infectious disease research lab underwent catastrophic failure.
I love the passive verb there.
Yep. Legally, that's the smart move.
It suddenly started pissing a fine mist of live tuberculosis all over the room. While sounding like Ed Ogeron falling down a hill covered in kitchen appliances. If anyone wants to just make a shot at that noise, you know, go ahead.
Ooh,
that's a bubbly tuberculosis.
Oh, shit, get that too. That's a good TB. That's a spicy TB. You want that TB down in the lung right here.
Touchdown.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You want to make a good defense for the tuberculosis. That's it.
So where were we? Pissing TB. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Lost two.
He concludes this story with, grad school was great. What do you do, by the way, if you're just like covered in that, like you've got to just resign yourself to a romantic doom somewhere out in the desert, right? You go to a sanitarium, you get all sexy. Because TB makes you sexy, remember, historically. Like, that was the thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've seen Tombstone. I know how it works.
Yeah, the man walks in all flush with color, and people in the 19th century are in such shit condition that someone walks in with pink cheeks, and they're like, they must be healthy. Look at them.
I will say, I understand. I'm happy that we live in the medical science of 2024. It's a lot better. I am a little jealous that there was a time when you could get sick, and your doctor was like, I know, move to the beach. I prescribe vacation.
In Europe, they were like, ski town. Go to a ski town. What do? Sit with a blanket in a chair. Consider the demise of your late imperial civilization.
Eat a graham cracker and stop downloading pornography on your computer.
Should I stop drinking? Not brandy. Brandy's good for you. Drink a lot of it.
You think the doctors were in on it? You think the doctors were like, hey, Atlantic City, you kick me $50 and I'll start telling people to cure their what ails them.
100%. Yeah. Wouldn't you do that?
Sure.
Like, look at where sanitariums are. They're like resort town in New Mexico, far away from tax enforcement, right? Switzerland. They sent people to Switzerland in really nice towns. They're like, absolutely necessary.
I realize what we're describing is Instagram influencers before Instagram existed.
They even took selfies. They had like tubercular selfies.
You know what cured my Crohn's disease? Key West.
Sorry, my healing journey.
Demographically, a lot of those people today want to bring back tuberculosis.
Yeah, that's fair.
My healing journey included having an affair with a ski instructor in Stade.
His name was Todd.
I'm dying.
But I've never been more alive.
Your brother's name is Todd.
My brother's name is Todd. He's not a ski instructor, though. Anyway, this is from Nina. Nina, are you present? All right.
Yeah!
Nina, I'm not going to make you get on the mic, but you sent in the following short message. I worked for what turned out to be an actual Ponzi scheme. Nina, I'm going to ask you some short questions. To the extent you were legally able, I'd like you to answer them. When did you learn this was a Ponzi scheme? Okay, so one interpretation is that you got out before shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
While working this job, did you ever think, this might be a Ponzi scheme?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to Madoff, how Ponzi scheme was this job?
If you were to Google Oregon Ponzi scheme.
Whoa! You're telling me this has SEO value?
The biggest Ponzi scheme in Oregon history.
the biggest puns. Okay, first of all, that's a challenge to every innovator.
I mean, Nike's here. Come on. That's amazing.
Oregon history.
Okay, so Holly's checking it out.
You're telling me it's a bigger fraud than the Willie Taggart era?
Wow. Nina, looking back, do you think you could have stopped the Ponzi scheme?
No.
$74 million? Yeah, you know what? You know what?
I'm not sure you're looking at the wrong one.
Oh, wait, there's one that's bigger than $74
million?
Million?
Yeah.
Million.
Okay.
This guy?
Yeah, not that guy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
That's how many y'all got? Like,
Try second biggest Ponzi scheme.
Second biggest.
In Oregon history.
Runner.
A few hundred
Ponzi.
Million?
Oh, so more than this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I was a low-level accountant. I could not
have
stopped.
Okay.
That's what David said.
So how much did you get?
Nina,
I can't get further into this without reading actual names aloud, which I assume.
What's the name of the company?
That's here.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, the first Google result is a Justice Department result. So, ooh, this is... Nearly $300 million from defrauded investors. Oh.
Nina.
One of these people has the same name as the Lady Vols women's basketball announcer. And I'm going to use this information.
Nina, have you ever had to talk about the Ponzi scheme company in an interview or on your resume?
The official Justice Department release includes the phrase, elaborate web of lies.
Wow. In a way, I find that flattering, mm-hmm. because if the Justice Department put out a press release that was like,
anything fun.
Dumbass, easy, boring scheme,
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, man.
Stupid criminals make stupid plan.
The simplest shit we've ever uncovered.
Sorry, the very
absolute
last line.
Dunce.
The very last line. Assistant U.S. Attorney Hannah Horsley assisted the trial
okay,
team.
Okay, okay.
Horse girl.
She saw a crime and said nay.
Have you ever had...
You tell me to hoof it?
Don't push it. This is what happens to you. You get one and you're like, yeah. Oh fuck, I can shoot 3-pointers now. And it's like, God damn, man. Nina, have you ever had to explain this in a job interview?
Not in a job interview, but after, so the next job I got is the job I'm currently at.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Nina, I promise this won't be used in court against you. I can't promise that. Using the scale of extremely confident, confident, somewhat confident, not confident, and extremely not confident, do you think your current job is a Ponzi scheme?
I'm in a profit now, so
okay.
I'm hopeful it's
so almost positively.
Okay. Thank you, Nina, for getting out of life.
Yeah!
When they were trying to spend all this money that should have gone to investments, and so they were spending it on stupid stuff.
Uh-huh.
One of the things they spent it on was 2 6-foot statues that they had commissioned of the Oregon and Oregon State football.
Yes. Yes. Oh. But that means that they had to sell them, right? Somebody got those at auction, meaning that there was some, like, your uncle, right? Like, your 68-year-old uncle who's like, I just go to auctions on Saturday. Like, he showed up and he's like, hey, look, they got a giant beaver. I think I'd buy that. The boys would think it's funny.
What a bummer for Oregon State that they're like, fuck, somebody ran a huge Ponzi scheme and all we got was almost the statue?
I mean, somebody got that statue, brother.
Oregon State
yeah.
didn't?
No, no, no. But somebody's uncle was like, yeah, I put a beer opener in the paw. It's really cool.
And then they walk in, and I go, "How are you like my beaver?" I'm going to be a great 68-year-old man. Already am. That's next week. Yeah. Yeah.
I got another month-long investigation. This is from Greg.
The Jipper internet Greg. Is attacking us.
Yeah, that's
what
new.
The shit? We broke the
internet. All the information in the world, and also crippling amounts of porn.
Sorry, go ahead, Holly.
I'm distracted by the robot butthole. All right. Who among you? Greg worked surveillance cameras for a sports book / racetrack. Again, if you want us to read your email, this is a compelling start. Our primary vault room had a blind spot that was about a third of the room.
That's more than a blind spot. That's, well, there's just this one sliver of vault we can't that's quite see.
It's a Cerberus with an eye patch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on where you're standing.
Tess, I'm just here to say goodbye.
After warning the state and our bosses about it for a month, everyone in surveillance stopped caring. 5 months later, I came in on a Saturday at 5 a.m. after being told by our boss, someone stole $75,000 from the vault and it's your job to find it.
Nina, where were you that day?
Co-worker and I worked for 40 hours straight, breaking several laws. Greg, I know we said to keep this short, but I would have appreciated a little bit of elaboration here. State police used what my coworker and I put together to get the guy to confess. The state comes in and demands that cameras be put all over the vault rooms going forward, including under tables. You might feel like this story is meandering. A year and $100,000 later, we had to put up a sign in the vault room that said, "Do not wear skirts inside vault." As the person who installed the cameras was caught selling upskirt video footage from our surveillance feed.
Yeah.
By the way, we're reading that one and we're like, oh, I can't read that one. I can't read that one. I can't read that one.
Thank you for making me upskirt correspondent.
Yeah. You're welcome.
This person was then hired as porn CTO. Rachel, you're here tonight.
Yeah.
There you are. How do I say the name of this county?
Multnomah.
Multnomah, just how it's spelled. Thank you.
What did you? Hold on. What did you want to say? Yeah. Multnomah?
What do you mean?
What? How?
Oh,
did
I didn't have any preconceived notions of how to say the word.
Can you give me your most?
I'm neither disappointed or heartened.
Okay.
I'm from Tennessee. I just sort of called it Maury County.
I think if I'd encountered this county in more where we were from, I would assume Multnomah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
When I was working for the Multnomah County Courts during a really nasty, mega high profile murder trial. How high profile?
He was a guy who hate crime, stabbed and murdered people on the train.
Ooh.
Oh, that wow. One. Okay. All
right. Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
I just want to say, we don't like it. We'll come out against that.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, yeah. Applaud us.
No, we are
We'll
heroes.
Take a brave stand.
Yeah. Others won't say it.
It's
no,
about
that's
time.
That's what makes us first responders.
That's right. Where's our bumper sticker?
Oh, it's the back the do one.
I can park in the special spots at Lowe's because of this now.
That's right. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm basically a veteran.
Thank you for your service.
The fire alarm went off and everyone had to evacuate the building. The cause? One of my coworkers had put a banana in the microwave for 5 minutes.
Again, this speaks to me of covering up some other unrelated crime.
Yes, thank you.
It caused a fire.
What?
And she refused to tell the... Shout out to she, huh?
Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
Won't she do it?
And she refused to tell the sheriffs, firefighters, and trial court administrator why she was microwaving a banana. Mind your fucking business.
God forbid a woman have hobbies. If you want me to explain myself, I want banana immunity.
I know why she did it.
Why's that, Spencer?
Well, she ate a bunch of sugar-free gummy bears. And after leaving a mark she did not want to leave on the ceiling,
in a manner that she could never admit to on pain of death. She looked in the break room and said, "Where is my salvation? For I only have a snack banana to save me." And then she realized it's not just a microwave. It's a banana obliterator 5000.
I cast hot banana.
She cast, that's true. The worst D&D cast member in the world in your group decided as the sorcerer of the microwave / banana obliterator 5000, she was going to cast banana.
You're going to need to roll a 20 dexterity on that. And
she hit the 20, buddy.
Thank God she did.
Yeah.
The evacuation made the copy for the news that night, but the reason did not. We're breaking news here tonight, folks. It was hot banana in the break room with the microwave.
That scans in the podcast business song.
Hot banana.
Hot banana. Terrible fire.
In the microwave.
Yeah.
Murder trial derailed by hot.
Murder's bad, and we're going to say it because we're brave, and then we're brave, and then the murder. It's bad.
And I got the rest of the day off work.
Can I offer a short one?
Yeah.
No, it's your turn. I'm sorry.
No, please, please come ahead of me.
On Take Your Daughter to Work Day. Sorry, this is from Shannon's dad. Shannon sent it in, but this is really Shannon's dad's story. Shannon is the daughter in this. On Take Your Daughter to Work Day, I unintentionally took my daughter to the Playboy Mansion.
Okay, I was skeptical too with the unintentionally.
It was her birthday.
Now
she was 8, and it made the Los Angeles Times.
And because Ryan is a professional, he looked this up.
Yes, so Shannon sent along the clip from the LA Times.
Because we all saw unintentionally and went, eh.
So her father was, I believe, a photographer for the LA Times. He was sent on assignment with a writer to the Playboy Mansion. I believe this was for Jenny McCarthy winning Playmate of the Year. He had already decided it's Take Your Daughter to Work Day. So he brought her along with him. And the journalist very cleverly was like, I'm going to make this story about the daughter and what the fuck she thought about all of this. But yeah, she's in the LA Times for going to Take Your Daughter to Work Day at the Playboy Mansion.
This is that scene from The Nice Guys. Right.
This
is
Yeah.
I am going to share yet another one. This one, you know, these are long, but I think we're going to get through it because this is. I will say.
What would the alternative be?
I got a couple.
Not everybody.
How strenuous is this for you?
I'm going to take a deep breath and get through this. This is from Eric.
And then Spencer walked out.
Eric shattered a glass bottle of phenol and chloroform, soaking my shoes. Will eat through plastic and burn skin. Due to the lab, thank you for saying that you had a bottle of chloroform and that you were in a lab. This wasn't recreational.
Really, the daycare was very mad.
When the chloroform fell out of my trench coat pocket.
Right. The woman was startled. Due to the lab having pedal-controlled sinks, I had to sit on the counter with my feet in the sink while someone else had to stand on the pedal and hold it for 15 minutes. Faces were less than 1 foot away the whole time.
Missed chance for romance. This is a meet cute.
Yeah. Don't
so
you love me?
So how'd you two get together?
The chemicals also melted the tile in the lab, which were made of asbestos, which caused the lab to be closed for 2 weeks. Parenthetical, my boss couldn't use his office. Less than 1 month later, the lab opened back up. Okay, that's a good ending. It's not. I accidentally injected myself with a deadly...
Stop! Stop! Say those words again.
I accidentally injected myself with a deadly parasite, which can only be treated with, surely like antibiotic,
once
any fungal,
do, that's
something.
All together.
Chemotherapy. How bad was it? Surely this my blood had to be sent to the CDC in Atlanta once a month for 3 months.
For them to laugh at.
Neither incident actually hurt me. But my boss...
Disagree!
No, hi!
I'm not a doctor. If you get a disease that requires chemotherapy to treat what you injected yourself with, you are hurt.
I'm actually hurt, or are you injured?
You cannot go. You can't be like, yeah, I'm good. I'll play 41 games for the Lakers. It's fine.
Out here, no selling, doing research for the CDC.
Hey, coach, player. I'm a coach. I'm gonna let this up on you. It's a little bit of coach talk. Coach, you got a player. Okay. He's not a good player. You hate him, but you kind of need him because your depth chart's up against it. Okay. This 2-star has a deadly parasite.
Sure.
And the CDC's got to look at his blood once a month or he's going to die. Do you start him? What do you do? How do you motivate the player with the deadly parasite?
Well, coach, is this addition to his bloodstream, mm-hmm. is it turning him into the Hulk, perhaps?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. No. It's probably weakening him.
I mean, granted, I'm recruiting his replacement, but I already was. So, I'm doing? I'm turning him into a motivational mascot type, right? Like, look at this guy. This guy's blood is evaporating from his veins, and we have to dice him up into pieces and mail him to labs across the country, and he's still showing up at practice. He's bad at football, but he's still showing up. If he can be here, the rest of you motherfuckers better be giving it your all. Not literally your all like he is.
Coach, I'm going to step in and just say this. There's something special inside all of us. For some of you, it's a greatness.
Until we send it to the CDC.
And for some of you, it's a deadly parasite that you injected yourself with.
Also, as head coach of the Colorado State University Rams, when I say you cut me, I bleed green, for some of us, that's literal.
CoachAL.com, I was of the understanding that weakness is in the mind.
Okay,
what deficiencies are there in your program that explain this showing up in the corporeal forms of your players?
We're hoping he turns into Venom. That's really what we're hoping.
I want you all to hold this story in your mind. The next day you're like, I had a terrible day at work. I was so, like, your bad day at work, if it doesn't involve you sending your blood to the CDC, you did fine.
I accidentally injected myself, but it was just Gatorade.
That's right.
With all love to every one of you who wrote in about, oh, I rear-ended my boss's car in the parking lot. I know that was a bad day for you. I know that was hard. It did not involve chemotherapy to get out of it.
I know that I had a friend once who worked in a lab with some like strontium 90 or some sort of like hideous like radioactive shit that they used as like a tracer or something. Anyway, some of it got loose and aerosolized. That's not the story. The story is that when it happened and this coworker of my friend aerosolized and loosened the hideously radioactive strontium 90 that went into everyone's lungs and eyeballs, right? Not turning them into venom. Nothing cool is going to happen.
Oh, never.
Your superpower is cancer. It's bad.
Yeah.
When this coworker did it, they clipped the top and went, whoops. like in this cartoonish whoops-a-doodle.
Right, right.
I was like, how much would that
Gorsh.
Stuff? Gorsh. Yeah.
Gorsh, I need chemotherapy, Mick.
Goofy, not the strontium 90. Yeah.
Here's one from, folks, this is a good sign, all right? Anonymous.
Ooh.
We only get a first name for this one. A coworker snooping around the company intranet found an unprotected spreadsheet with the innocuous name Info. That spreadsheet turned out to contain not only everyone's salaries, but also who was going to be laid off. The spreadsheet spread like wildfire amongst non-management. By the time the first layoff arrived, HR was confused by the non-emotional response they got when they loaded everyone into the conference room and made the announcement. A few legends already had their next jobs lined up, pocketing severance and sliding right into a new paycheck. Minutes later, a manager ran from the room screaming, "They've got the spreadsheet!" What did they think was going to happen? It's called a spreadsheet. Like it's going to stay put?
That's amazing. That's why managers are important. Remember, the first people you hire in any endeavor is a manager, right?
The ones you definitely
retain
the longest.
We actually ought to tell that as
the
workplace disaster story.
Oh boy.
It's funny now.
This is from John. I used to work at a locked inpatient psychiatric facility.
Again, the power of a compelling lead. We're trying to help you guys write interesting letters.
Patients would regularly sneak cigarettes into their rooms to smoke, constantly setting off the fire alarms. At one point, we had our counties, and this is where, again, the language of the human brain really sings. We had our county's most prominent meth user.
Yeah, that's right. In my annual top 10 for April 2023,
where's,
you know,
the big game boomer graphic for this? Do you agree?
Yeah.
The one whose name is on the fucking plaque.
Oh, it's Subway Carl.
I'm tired
again
of the AP poll prioritizing blue blood meth users. Yeah.
I was going to
list. Group of five meth users are doing good work.
In an upset, I got Chad Ladybugs Wilson at number two, okay?
They don't even pay attention.
This is Subway Carl Erasure.
We had our country's most prominent meth user in the building. One afternoon, the fire alarm went off in a patient room, and several of us ran in with a fire extinguisher. We were greeted by a cloud of thick blue-gray smoke whilst trying to find what was on fire. We then realized we had walked into a room that had been thoroughly hotboxed with meth smoke. By the time we realized and got out of the room, it was too late, and we spent the remainder of the afternoon secondhand high on meth before crashing at 8 p.m. John, are you here?
Yeah.
John, I don't want to put you on the spot. What makes a meth user the county's most prominent?
Is there a pageant?
When he committed, he had been a frequent flyer in the meth, as they
call
it.
Sure.
The past 20 years.
Oh, man.
So it's a body of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did you feel the day after this day at work?
I came back to, I legitimately did crash at like 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
The worst migraine headache of my entire life.
On account of all the meth that you inhaled.
They were all like, how did you feel about that? And that was kind of it. And then it became like a real fun story that you
John, would you say that this is the worst possible work group bonding activity that one could conceive?
Have you played Putt-Putt with Spencer?
I want to say yes, but I worked for 7 years, so there was a lot of other shit.
Oh, oh.
So did productivity spike once the meth set on?
Yeah. Did anybody have some questions after about, you know, surprisingly piquant?
I think we have time for one or two more.
I got a short one that is not, I got a big, big downgrade in terms of stakes, but it's one of those rare sentences that every single word of it gets worse.
Oh, good.
It's short, but it really, from start to finish, it's a plummet. All right. This is from Jack. Jack says, and follow the trajectory with me. I got food poisoning from a chicken finger at the Pickleball US Open.
I like this because you know it's recent.
I wouldn't. Information that you couldn't waterboard out of me being at the Pickleball US Open. A thing I found out existed from Jack.
A place you'd hope you could trust the chicken fingers.
Yeah, seriously, that's like their whole deal.
This is from the, honestly, the name is as good as the story itself. Daughter of Auburn Mom.
Okay.
I ran a freshman dorm and someone, quote, accidentally discharged a weapon, unquote, into the water main. It was a long night. There you have it.
All right.
That is, I have so many questions because how big a gun do you need to actually fuck up a water main? That's not a small, like, that isn't it, like.
Yeah, what's Auburn's packing list?
Evidently, it's like M240.
An armed student body is a free student body.
infrastructure week means something very different in Alabama.